This weekend's gospel is the culmination of the gospels we've been reading over the last 3 weekends from the Gospel of St. John, all helping us prepare for Easter and especially to prepare our elect for baptism. If we look, we had first the story of the woman at the well and the life-giving water that Jesus promises as a figure of baptism. And last week we saw the enlightenment given to the man born blind, just as we are enlightened in baptism. And today's beautiful story of the raising of Lazarus from the dead points to the fact that baptism is, in fact, life from death, rebirth to the life of the Spirit. This story of Lazarus is perhaps the greatest miracle that Jesus worked amongst all his miracles. There's so much that we could talk about in this story. But today I'd like to focus on one part of it that frankly has always bugged me. You see, it says very clearly in St. John's Gospel, Jesus loved Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus. In fact, when they come to Jesus, they say, Jesus, the one that you love is ill. So it would only make sense then that it would say, when Jesus found out that the one that he loved was ill, he went immediately and helped him. But it doesn't say that. It would make sense. After all, Jesus has cured so many people. It seems like he's healed so many. And now his best friend, the one that he loves, is ill. And so when they come to Jesus and tell him, it says he stays 2 days. And then says that it's good that I didn't go. What on earth can Jesus be doing? I think all of us kind of rightly has that question. Certainly Martha and Mary had that question. This isn't a bad thing that they're asking, that he's cured all kinds of people. Jesus, please come cure your friend Lazarus. He's ill. We can hear the plea in their voice. The one you love is ill. And yet he stays. And he says that this is for the glory of God. It seems so confusing. And in fact, when he comes finally, Martha greets him and says very plainly, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I think it's a good question. We've got to hear almost the anger in her voice. Yet, she knows that even now, whatever you ask the Father, I know he'll give you. Mary has the same question. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I think we can hear them saying to Jesus, where were you when we needed you? Lazarus needed you, and now look, it's too late. He's dead. Now what are you going to do? Jesus puts a very simple question to Martha. He reminds her about the resurrection. He's talked about it. She says, I know, my brother will rise on the last day. Jesus says something very important. He says, no, not some distant day in the future when everything will be happy then. He says, no, not the resurrection at the end of time. He says, I am the resurrection. In other words, to say, if you have me, you've got everything you need. I'm here now. He's trying to move her faith. He's saying, it doesn't matter if Lazarus is dead because I am here. He asks her a simple question. When he promises life from death, he asks her, do you believe this? A question I think would have been very hard for Martha or Mary to answer at that time. They're faced with the death of their brother, and Jesus is saying, do you believe in the resurrection? Martha, for her credit, is able to say, yes, Lord, I have come to believe. And so Jesus then is able to work this great miracle of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. He stretches their faith. They knew he could heal sick people. They'd seen him do that all over. That's why they asked for him, because they knew he could do that. Their faith had already gone that far. Wow, Jesus has power over illness. He could cure people, raise lepers and blind people, restore their sight. But they never would have imagined that he would raise the dead right in front of them. This is what Jesus means when he says that this is to glorify God. It's good that I wasn't there, Because now he stretches their faith to show not only does he have power over sickness and illness, but even over death itself. And what's the thing that we most seem to fear in life? It's death. Jesus is telling us that as Christians, we need not fear death. He uses the death of Lazarus to show that he has power even over death. We see how this reading today especially points us towards Easter. But notice too that Jesus understands our humanity. I think all of us can see ourselves a little bit in Martha and Mary. We only have to look at the pain and suffering in our own lives. We are told in the scriptures that we are the beloved children of God. We are told that like Lazarus, we are the ones that Jesus loves. How is it then that so often it seems like when we most need Jesus, when there is pain in our life, the loss of a job, the illness of a child, the death of a loved one, sickness, injury, unemployment, all these things that trouble us, and we pray to God. We plead like they did with Jesus. Jesus, come. The one you love is in need. Me, I'm in need. The one you supposedly love, come and help me, Jesus. And then it seems like there's no answer. And we too wonder, where is Jesus? The one we're praying for dies anyway. We pray and pray and pray, but illness continues. Difficulties. And we might be tempted to ask Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, this would not have happened. Why were you not here when I needed you most? We've got to hear Jesus say, as he did to Martha, that you will rise. This suffering, this pain, this illness, whatever it is not to end in death. It's not to end in misery and weeping. Jesus says, Father, I know that you always hear me. God always hears us. And if he chooses to maybe not answer our prayer in the way we would expect, like he doesn't in the gospel today, we've got to trust him that it is for the greater glory of God, and that always means our greater happiness. Martha and Mary never would have thought that Jesus was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. How much do we limit God in our view of him when we seem to be suffering so much and it seems like God doesn't care? Can we see rather that God stretches our faith, causes us to take that next step forward in our belief in him, to say that, Lord, even in the midst of this, I trust you that you will bring good. It's not that Lazarus's death was good. We don't have to sit here and say that, well, it's good that Lazarus died. Jesus doesn't mean that. He weeps for the death of Lazarus, his friend. He's sad, but he knows that he will bring a greater good. That's what gives us the hope, that there is always a greater good. You know, this stretching of our faith is so important. I had this experience myself when I was in seminary. My classmate and another friend classmate who was a year behind, we had just started our third year of seminary. It was the beginning of the semester, and one night, four of our seminarians for the archdiocese and two from another went out and got drunk and came back to the seminary and were racing around in their car and accidentally flew off the road and hit a tree. And it killed my classmate, Maddie Molnar, and Jared Cheek, another year behind him. Two men who were studying to be priests, going to be great ministers for God. And yet, in an instant, everything was changed and they were gone. I remember asking some of these questions. God, where were you? If you had been here, this would not have happened. Or, you know, like they say in the gospel, if the man you cured, the blind man, could not the one who cured the blind man have done something so that these two seminarians wouldn't have died? And we can all, I think, look at those situations in our life and see the analogies. But let me tell you, I found, not that we would ever say that this was a good event, but like the death of Lazarus, good came out of it. It began to stretch my own faith in the resurrection. All of a sudden, I, who had always believed in the resurrection, now I had to say, well, two of my friends who I was just talking with supposedly have just gone to heaven. And I could hear Jesus saying to me, as he did to Martha, do you believe this? Do you believe this? It was hard to believe at that time. I tried to look for the good, and eventually it would come. The driver of that vehicle who had caused the accident recently was ordained a priest himself and now goes around giving talks to all our young people about the dangers of drinking and driving. He puts a very human face on what otherwise seems like something that is, you know, to be taken lightly. Or does it really matter if I drink and drive? He is a very living witness to the fact that yes, it does. How many of our young people have now been saved from drunk driving accidents because of his testimony? The mothers of Jared and Maddie beautifully forgave him. That's a great witness of forgiveness. How many people have learned to let go and forgive because of their example? I myself found my own faith in the resurrection strengthened because I was confronted with that question about the resurrection. Do you believe this? So I encourage you, whatever situation you're in right now, and we all have those pains, those difficulties, do you trust? Can we have that hope that Jesus says to us, do you believe this? I will bring life even from death, no matter what you are going through. Never doubt for a minute that I love you. You are the one that I love. Without a doubt. If he delays, it is only to bring about a greater good, a greater glory. God promises us in our first reading, I will open your graves and have you rise from them. I, the Lord, your God, have promised, and I will do it, says the Lord. The question is then, do you believe this?